Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
Came into Sheffield, we came in on the parkway at Christmas in 1990, and it shocked me. Like, we'd come from summer in Australia, summer in Brisbane, Queensland, where it's beautiful one day, perfect the next. And every house is an individual house. Every house is designed individually. There's trees everywhere, there's, the sound of birds. It's just, the sky's high. And then we drove into Sheffield. And the view that just shocked me the most was the one we're about to come past, which is Wyburn Estate, Council Estate, in the inner city of Sheffield. And no trees, every building, every house exactly the same. And I thought to myself, people actually live there. Like, it shocked me that people actually live there. Call me prejudiced, I guess I was. It was just, and the city was, hadn't really been renewed. It was still how it used to be, you know, for the last 50, 60 years, I guess. And came in on the parkway. And just at the end of the parkway, near the roundabout where Ponds Forge is, there was two really old dilapidated buildings, which was the introduction to the city centre. And it kind of took my breath away. And then I realised that this is where we're called to. We had a vision that we're called to the industrial cities of the north of England. We weren't called to Pleasantville. We weren't called to, like, San Diego. We weren't called to Miami. We weren't called to Hawaii. We were called to the industrial heartlands. And I don't think I'd be happy in any other situation except the vastness of a city that needs restoration both physically and spiritually. And you know, the coldness of the city, which hid the warmth of community, but just was kind of, I still feel like this is what I'm born for. I'm born to wrench cities out of depression and out of spiritual coldness and bring them into the victory and the warmth of Christ and build family where there's been friction. And we've been here 25 years, spreading our wings across other cities, now into Europe and now into Asia and Africa. I feel like the story's just begun, the restoration of cities in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just up here on Copper Street is where I first preached in Sheffield, and it was a winter's night. It hadn't snowed yet. This is a picture of the next day of Jen walking through snow-swept streets that she'd never done before in her entire life. And it was in this church that I heard from God about moving to Sheffield. It's a bit of a mess now. Look, it's totally been overtaken by vandals and all the windows are cracked. But this is, for us, is a place of history. History in the making. We first came over here because of the Hillsborough disaster that led us to the north of England. I knew the Youth Alive Director for the Assemblies of God, about 600 churches in Great Britain. And I thought that it happened in Liverpool. And I thought Liverpool was in the Midlands. And so I asked him to get me preaching in the Midlands on a little tour. And he just I preached in one place in Milton Keynes, and the second place I came to was up here in the heart of Sheffield. And it was in this building that God spoke to me and said, this will be the place that you'll get started. And just out of nowhere, and then we stayed with some people in Rotherham, and they said, why did you come over? I said, because of the Hillsborough disaster. And they said, do you know the place where you preach tonight is just maybe 2 or 3 miles from Hillsborough? We had no clue, no idea. And it was just completely divine, kind of sent shivers up our spines. Come on, let's take a closer look. This is also the place we met Chris Thomas, a young Chris Thomas who's now planting in Vancouver. He was a youth pastor here at the Copper Street Assemblies of God Church back in December 1990. And since that time, he's worked for us, and we sent him off to Vancouver doing great work for God. But it's amazing how God weaves lives together. It's amazing how God's gone before us and how just divine destiny is so entwined. I'm just totally blown away by it. The morning we arrived at Heathrow in London. We landed, I would say, 6:30 in the morning, and the person that was meant to be giving us a lift just didn't turn up. So Jen and I sat down, we waited and waited, and then we made some phone calls. There was no one picking up. And so we prayed. We just stood there beside the telephones, the public telephones at Heathrow, and we prayed. And a guy came up to us, which normally would be quite frightening. And he said, do you need anything? Are you in trouble? And we said, well, the people that were meant to be picking us up, they've obviously forgotten about us. And then he said, well, he's a chauffeur. And he was there to pick up, you know, a rich businessman who never turned up. He'd actually arrived a lot earlier and so this chauffeur was just, he said he was killing time. And then he saw us and so said, I'll take you to where you need to go, which we didn't know where we were going. So he said, I'll take you to a place called Beaconsfield, to a B&B, and then you can sort yourselves out. And so he took us down to the car park, pressed the button on his Jaguar, and we got chauffeur driven on our very first morning in England, chauffeur driven to our destination, which kind of shows the hand of God, and it shows how God has, you know, the guy wasn't waiting, he wasn't killing time, he was waiting, well, he's killing time waiting for us, waiting for destiny to arrive. And we love that. God rolling out the red carpet on our arrival. Two foreigners, and God rolling out the red carpet. Also on this first trip we made at the end of 1990 was we preached in this small town called Darton in Barnsley. The pastor was Grayson Jones, and there was maybe 50 people there. And when we went back to Australia, having known that we were to return to Sheffield, one of the ladies in church whose husband had just passed away, she had two children, and she said that we could actually stay with her. So for around 6 weeks, we stayed in this gorgeous house in Darton, Barnsley, and attended for the first 4 weeks Grayson Jones Church. And Grayson is about to be voted in the national president of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain, which oversees around 600 churches. So again, I'm totally blown away how God has knitted our lives together and created bridges and cords of influence that began over 25 years ago. This is a picture of the family we stayed with, and over here is Janice, and she's got two children. I can't remember the youngest, but the oldest with the ginger hair is Nicola, and she became a Christian singer and sung in all over the place, and it's a beautiful little dog. But it's a gorgeous family, and as I said, that her husband passed away, and so they took us in, and so we're forever grateful to this family for the rest of our lives. My memory is not the best, but I'm pretty sure it's this house here on the left-hand side that we lived in. But I remember when we were living here that we went down to the Barclays Bank in Barnsley to see if we can get a mortgage. We'd seen this house in Killamarsh in Sheffield that was the right price, like cheap. We had a deposit that we brought with us from Australia. And she said, well, what's your job? I said, I've got no job. I've just got a vision. And she said, well, we don't really give out mortgages to dreamers. We give out mortgages to people that are in employment. So she said, we can't do it. 3 days later, we're sitting on the stairs in this house, and the Barclays bank manager from Barnsley rings us up and says, I'm going to go against Barclays policy here. I'm going to give you a mortgage. She said, there's something about you that I just got a feeling you're going to succeed. And so I'll lend you the money, and you can have your house in Killamarsh and get on the housing ladder in this country. So we're forever grateful to order. But knowing that that was the hand of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God was upon us from the very beginning of our 25 years here in the United Kingdom. Amazing.
So open up my eyes to a new light. I wandered round your darkened land all night.
When we first moved to Sheffield, we bought this house in Killamarsh, and we never realised that probably nobody had ever moved into this council estate. Moved into the council estate for generations. And so we came along not understanding the history of council estates, and everyone kept saying, what are you doing here? And to us, it was because of the will of God, it was quite easy for us. It didn't feel odd, it didn't feel out of sorts, but to everybody in this estate, it felt like we'd arrived from planet Mars. And I think that let alone someone from outside of the estate, but someone from Australia, a family, a couple from Australia coming into here. And I think it shocked everybody. And we were the last people to be shocked because we didn't think it was unusual, and as unusual as it actually is. But this was our new beginnings in our new country. When we moved into the house, which is behind me, the middle of three, we had absolutely no money. We had no curtains. We were able to buy just a bed and a table, a kitchen table with dog-eaten legs on it. And we had no lounge suite. We had no curtains. The bathroom was completely untiled. We simply had no furniture. And we really prayed. And this pastor asked me to preach for him in York. He was part of the Assemblies of God group of churches. And on a Wednesday night, there's maybe 100 people there. And he said, let's take an offering up for Dave. Let's really get behind him. And I think the offering came to £2,200, which probably in today's currency is like £4,000. And I went home and I said, and I changed it to Australian dollars. I said, Jen, guess how much they gave me tonight? And I said, start off at $50. And when she came, you know, said $5,000, I said, well, that's just about it, £2,200. She was flabbergasted at the grace of God when we absolutely had absolutely nothing. God came through in a mysterious way. Like, I don't think we've ever taken, in the history of Hope City Church, we've never taken an offering of £2,200 for any speaker at any time, in any one place. And so we were able to get lounge room furniture, buy television, video player, buy curtains, tile the bathroom, buy a cot, buy a pram, and just get ourselves ready for what was about to take place in the life of the Gilpins. The amazing thing in it all is that Jen was 4 months pregnant when we came out here. And so we had 5 months to settle in. This is Ryan when he was born, and the forceps have to take him out because he was like 9 pounds. And I don't think Jen would like me showing that picture. This is the three of us in hospital. And I think he was born, I think he was like in the early morning. And then I had to preach. I had a sermon ready to preach on the Sunday, so I had to say goodbye to Jen, preach the message, because we had no other preachers. And Ryan was quite uptight when he was born, and he's been uptight ever since. And so we had to entertain him all of the time. He never sat down, never just chilled out. There wasn't one element of chill in him, even for 1 minute, just so tense and so irritable, I guess. And so we prayed one night that we had seen someone else had one. It was a bouncer that used to bounce off cords off a door frame, and we prayed about it and thought, that's exactly what we want. And again, because we had hardly any money, I went upstairs into the attic, and the only thing in the attic in this house was a baby bouncer. I'm not kidding. This is it. This is Ryan and the baby bouncer that we found in the attic after praying about it and after hoping that God would come through. And I would like to say that he had days and days of entertainment in this baby bouncer. I think, put it all together, maybe an hour and a half of entertainment. But it was rest and respite for us with this incredibly hyperactive child of ours. But this is the grace of God in operation. This is the goodness of God toward our lives. And this baby bouncer was part of the covenant of God and part of the scarlet cord running from 25 years ago right through today. And I'm confident that it's running right into our future. I used to come down here to this canal, like with Ryan in his stroller. For hours and hours and hours, I used to pray, but at the same time, he used to enjoy it, seeing the birds and going to sleep. Sometimes it's the only thing I could have done to put Ryan to sleep and to stop him being so restless. And but I prayed and prayed. This is my prayer path. And hours upon hours upon hours of prayer was put in on this pathway. To believe for the intervention of God, to believe for the protection of God, to believe for the provision of God, to believe for his scarlet cord to run all the way through every single day, threaded through every week, threaded through every year. And it's been a journey. I haven't been down here for 22 years, but I can feel the presence of God here, because I can feel that this is where the prayers penetrated heaven. And this is where God heard us and heard our cry. And it's been a twisty journey, but we've reached a great place. The beginning of awesome things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And we're looking forward to it. On the very first Sunday of Hope City Church, we did a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service. And I think there was around 40 different people on that weekend. And most of them came from, not an ad, but they came from an editorial in the Sheffield Star. A couple of weeks beforehand, I went to the Sheffield Star, the major Sheffield newspaper, and I said, can you do a report on me? And so the receptionist called up one of the reporters. She came downstairs and interviewed me. And I don't know what the title was. I think it was Aussie Preacher Brings Hope to Sheffield, something like that. But I also gave her my press release, and the article was my press release, just regurgitated. And so around 40 people came. But I got banned from the Sheffield Leaders Fellowship because on that first Sunday, about 12 women came from the church just up the road. And they never came back to us, but I think he got a bit mad that I'd started up just within his domain. And he was on the leadership of the Sheffield Pastors Leaders Fellowship. So they barred me for, I think, at least a couple of years. But it was the start of something. We called ourselves the Hope of Sheffield Christian Church. When you come from Australia, you can't call yourself Mosborough Christian Fellowship or on the other side of town, the Totley Christian Fellowship. You've got to have a big name. So we went for the biggest name out. We copied it from the Hope of Bangkok, and so we called it the Hope of Sheffield, and kept with that name for quite some time. Made a few people irritated, like other pastors, but there's a huge sense of audacity about it, a huge sense of faith about it, and which is what you need to start any big project in any new season of your life off. So we got started. I'll show you where it was. So here we are. We started at the edge of town, and this place was called the John Barnett Youth Centre. And now it's called the Clinton Woods Boxing Fitness. And on the very first Sunday, a very special lady came, and her name was Maggie Bow. And this is a picture of her and Phil, who came on and off for quite some time, but now he's so on. And Maggie's daughter came the following week, and a girl called Julia came, who's just come back to church, came on the very first Sunday. There's only a few people left, but so those that remain have become quite special. We're on the edge of town for around a year or so, in this building and another building, until we felt the Holy Spirit prompt us to go into the city centre. So when we did, maybe half the people followed because the other half were local. They couldn't see themselves being a part of a city centre church. And so we gathered a lot of different types of people, a lot of hurt people, a lot of broken people, a lot of bruised people. And people on the leftovers of the charismatic renewal. They were interesting times. On the first Sunday, we had to buy the equipment, Jen and I, because the church that sponsored us from Australia just gave us a little bit of money each week. But we paid our flights over, we paid for the sound gear, we paid for the overhead projector. And so I did the worship with a guitar, Jen then did communion, I then preached, Jen then prayed, and we did that for quite some time. It was the Dave and Jen show. And we couldn't do anything about it. That's the way we started. It's always better to start with a team than just the two of you. And then Jen gave birth 4 months later after arriving here. And so it's a lot of strain, but we got through it. is where we ended up. It's in Matilda Street. We leased this building, this warehouse, for 3 years before we took on the mega center. This was a place of great growth and also a place of a bit of retraction as well. And a whole lot of new people started coming to church. And after the 5-year mark of Hope City Church, a whole lot of people decided to leave because of all the new people that were around, and the people that came in initially got less attention, and some great people like Glenn Barrett came along, and some incredible people like Lou Davies came along, Chris and Gosha, Siobhan and Steve. Already there was Colin and Dawn and Maggie and Phil and Sheila and Dave Smart. The list would go on of all the heroes that were here and all of the young blood that was here. And now a lot of those people have become senior leaders in the life of Hope City Church. And there's been some attrition, which is partly because I've had to grow in my heart and only life and responding to God gives you a larger heart. But this is filled with memories. And of all the streets in Sheffield, God chose Matilda Street. And for the mega center, Bernard Road. And Bernard Gilpin was called the Apostle of the North 500 years ago. And one of the other great churches in Sheffield is St. Thomas. And guess what street they're on? Gilpin Street. Ask me how I feel after 25 years of planting Hope City Church. I feel like Usain Bolt in that when he does the 100 meters, he starts off on the starting blocks just with his knee on the ground, with his hands on the line. They go on your marks, get set, he lifts the knee off. And then for 40 yards or 40 meters, he runs with his head down, bowed over, trying to get as much traction and speed as possible. Then after 40 meters, he looks up and he runs the rest of the 60 meters with his head held high. So I kind of feel like we're at the 40-60 zone. I feel like everything that we've done has been head down, tail up. We have never looked back. And now I feel like it's time for Hope City Church to lift up its head and to see the next 25 years of accelerated growth, of accelerated lives being changed, influence being added to us, doors being opened to us. And I want to encourage everyone to lift your head up and start to walk with stature, start to run with dignity, start to run with a sense of belief that God is for us, who could be against us. I'm looking forward to the next 25 years in the life of Hope City Church. Thank you.